Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to Philippians chapter 4. Miss Helen called it this morning. Took me 25 years, but I got back to the same scripture. I want to share another tree of life with you this morning. How many of y'all like peace? You know, when Helen just said that about peace came over, you know, and there's peace that we should have every day of our life. I believe there's like special peace that can come on us that can maybe when you're going through traumas and trials and things like that, you can have peace. But having peace in your life, it doesn't really make any difference how wealthy you are or how poor you are or what's going on. If you have peace, you can do anything. Are y'all with me? Because if you have peace, the Bible says, then God's with you. And if God's with you, then you can do all things. And the revelation we need to get today in preaching this message is a revelation about understanding the peace of God and how the peace of God can be in your life at your choice, not God's choice. Now listen to me. Let me read this scripture to you. I'm in the book of Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." He says the God of peace will come upon you based upon what you're doing. Are you hearing me? If you say, "Oh God, I just need peace in this situation," you're actually praying wrong. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all here? Y'all out there? He says the peace of God is only determined by what you're thinking of, what you're dwelling on, what you're looking at, how you're seeing the situation is what's determining if you have peace, the peace of God in your life or not. You know, I'm really surprised that after all these years that I'm still pastoring, that somebody's not just started throwing rocks at me and say, "Look, we don't want to hear it," because I preach a message that makes you have to do something. I don't know if you figured that out yet. I preach a message that throws it back on you and said, "Look, here's what you need to do. Now go do it and you can have it." You know, I can't preach a message that I can, you know, throw water or throw oil or throw whatever on you and just make all your problems go away, because I can't find that in the scriptures. But I can find in the scriptures how to teach you and how we can understand and how we can grow together. Amen. And we can walk in this peace. The peace of God is totally, completely determined by what you're walking in, what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you're saying. You say, "No, Pastor, you don't understand. I mean, there's something that's happened in my life. It's traumatic. I can't sleep at night. I can't go do this because I'm having all these thoughts. Whatever. And yeah." What are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? You got God in the middle of it? No. Okay, then you don't have peace. No, you see, I need God to just, when God fixes a situation, then I have peace. Doesn't work at what? See, we're always waiting for the manifestation of the answer to what we want to come, and then we'll have peace. But in the meantime, you're just worrying and fretting all the way through it. And God didn't say, "That's not what I want you to do." Now, let me show you this. You might want to, write this down. I'll get to it in just a second. John chapter 14. Let's go to John 14, 14. This is what you might want to write down. What you dwell on, or what you think on, what you dwell on, is going to be where you'll make your house. If you're dwelling on the bad, you're going to make a house in the middle of the bad. If you're dwelling on worry, you're dwelling on fear, you're going to make your house in the field of fear. If you're dwelling on good, and your mind is stayed on the things of God and on the promises of God and the word of God and what God says to you and what he promises you, and your mind stayed on that, then he says God's going to come in and he's going to dwell with you, and you're going to have in your dwelling a house, a place of peace. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now I'll not leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that the day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus said, man, I want to come and live in you, and I want to dwell in you. I want us to make a house together. I want us to make a dwelling place together, make a temple together, that where I can come and live and dwell in it. But God's not going to come and live and dwell in the midst of fear. You see, God dispels fear. God dispels doubt. God dispels sin. God dispels anything that's not of him. So if he wants to move into the house has to be set up like he wants it. But you got this problem. It's a huge problem. It's stuck right here between your ears. It's your thinking, your mind. The Bible says we have to renew our minds to the word of God. In other words, you got this problem inside your head. You're thinking crazy all the time. Brother Ivan called me the other day, and we were visiting and talking. He said, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing pretty good today. He said, well, what's going on? I said, well, I've already been through my whole mental thought process this morning. I've been through murder. I've been through, you know, flogging. I've been through the whole nine yards. And I've worked it all down. I know that's not profitable. And I've already changed. And I'm over here thinking about the word of God and the things of God. He starts laughing at me. He says, man, he says, you want to come preach a men's conference with me? And I said, no, I don't want to go preach a men's conference. He said, no, come on, go preach a men's. He said, everybody in the world needs to hear that message. And I said, well, let me get total good victory over here, and then maybe. But today, I ain't quite there. I'm over. I'm about 75%. I ain't got to 100 yet. Let me get on, you know, get a few more things under control here. But that's the way it works with all of us, folks. Listen to me. Nobody, you're not ever going to get to the place that in life, when life's problems and situations come at you, that you're not affected by them. If they are, you've either gotten so delusional in life that you can't even see it, because we're human. We're of a natural, we have feelings. And when somebody says something to you, somebody hurts you, somebody, a job you were believing for, you didn't get, when something discouraging happens, something goes on in your life, it affects you. It totally affects you. If it doesn't affect you, see, I don't even know what you're thinking. You say, well, I just got to the place where nothing bothers me anymore. Man, I don't know. You may have a spirit of lying in you. Because we're humans, and we have feelings, and we have emotions. We have a soul, and things, no matter what it is, it touches us. And it's not that you get to a place that nothing touches you, because you may have just become calloused and uncaring. That doesn't bother me. Well, you just got to be callous and uncaring. Everything affects us. And it affects us. We have to deal with it. And the way we deal with it is, if you stay there and you dwell in that place, it will eat your lunch. It will kill you. It is the devil coming in your life to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants you to be an unproductive Christian. He wants you to be feeling sorry for yourself. He wants you to be beat down. He wants you to be put down. He wants you to have no place to go. Have no revelation of God's peace. He wants you beat down. Because then you're ineffective. You're not doing anything for him. Hello? So what God says is, look, you got to get your thinking straight. You got to get your head on straight. You got to make your house a place where I can come and dwell. I'm not talking about your physical house. I'm talking about your house, your temple. You got to get your head on straight. You got to get your thinking straight. You got to get your mind having thoughts that I want to come and sit down at the house with you and we think about it. So he goes through here. You may want to write this down. What you see or imagine, what you hear and what you say will determine how you live and your position in life. What you see, what you hear, what you say is going to determine how you live and your position in life. You say, well, I can't ever get ahead. Well, maybe you're thinking wrong. I can't get a, I don't seem like I can get a good job. Well, maybe you've already positioned yourself where you nobody wants to hire you. Why is it that we always think the problem is something wrong with everybody else? Why is it when it comes up to it's everything's wrong with everybody else? Oh, that could never be anything wrong with me. No, I'm not. You know. Why do we do that? Because we're protecting our own feelings and our emotions. We're guarding ourselves so that we won't be hurt. But God made you with the ability to love and to care and to have mercy and to have grace and to be able to share these feelings and these emotions. But you can only do it in a house of peace. Okay, so how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do what I'm saying? Because I don't know about you, but whenever anything, how many of you, I better not ask for any hands. If you're in a situation today or have ever been in a situation today that is consuming your thoughts, it's not easy to turn off. So I want to ask you today, I want to show you today, how are you going to do this? How are you going to get control of this? Well, I want to tell you something. You got to start with the small things. Listen to me. You got to smart. You got to start with the small things. Okay? Find the place in your life that you have got the most amount of faith. And then you want to start praying and believing God in that area. Because you may not have any faith at all for any other area. And you want to start there. And you want to start believing God so you can see God move. And you can start to do what I'm telling you in that little small thing. So when you start to see it, then what's going to happen is as you see God move, then your faith is going to grow. And as your faith grows, then you can tackle bigger things. But if you try to tackle the whole enchilada and one big attempt, you're going to get defeated because it's too much for you. You're not going to be able to control it. You're going to have to learn to get God's word. You've got to learn to pray and believe that God's promises are true. I remember one time when our children were real small. And Laura and I were struggling in our finances, and school time came around, and we didn't have really any money to go buy school clothes, and we were needing to buy school clothes, and it was a big deal. And I remember reading Matthew 6, "Take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink." You know, take no thought. And I was like, man, Lord, how do you want me not take thought about this? This is right before my face, my God. You want me to not take thought? This is a thought. How can I get away from this thought? It's in front of me. I got kids going to go to school. I can't make enough money to pay for getting Norris new school clothes. I need some money, Lord. That's all I can see is I need some money. I clothe even the birds of the field and the, you know, whatever. I'm like, what the heck? What are you going to clothe a flower? But what are you going to do about me, Lord? I had no faith. I couldn't understand it. It's like, oh, yeah, you made the flower grow. But how does that apply to my life? I just need some cash. And folks, I'm talking about the very first year that I, you know, ever attempted to believe God for finances for school clothes. We probably made it through, but it was probably a miserable defeat. It's the truth. It's the truth. And then one year,
out of the blue, God did a miracle. Because what I learned was I had to start ahead of time. Because I was so weak in my faith that by the time I really needed it, if I didn't start, you know, months ahead, I'd never get to the time that it actually needed to manifest. And all of a sudden, man, it happened. And a miracle took place. And out of the blue, man, there was a blessing and it came through. And this person actually literally came up and said, you know, we never told anybody this. And this person actually came up and said, listen, a God spoke to me, told me to give you this because for school clothes. You remember this? I mean, it was not that much money, but we did the dance of victory in the house. I mean, we had a parade in the house. So look what our God has done. Look what our God has done. Look what our God has done. You know? Because we saw it. We started out in the little thing, and we believed God and believed God and believed God, and it came over to the big thing. And you know what happened? Peace came. You know, the next year it was easier because we already had peace. And it got easier and easier and easier till then finally we were doing it. We said, you know, we want to bless people. We want to give. And we had abundance and we were giving to bless people to buy their school clothes. You see, it started with a little thing. And folks, you can't just overcome it overnight. It takes a little thing. It takes being faithful, being consistent and not quitting and knowing that the promises are true and just pounding it out day in and day out. And it may fall 1,000 times on each side of it. Things may drop and things may fall and things may not look like they're going right. But you just keep looking at the promises. Know it's what the promise says. And that's what the promise says. Then I'm going to keep walking in that direction because that's what the promise says. Either I'm not applying it right. Something's going on here. But God's word's true. And I'm going to go on because this is what he said I could have and I'm going to have it. But peace would come because we knew we were believing God's word. So many times people would come to me and say, Robert, you're crazy. You can't go do that. And I just say, look, you just leave me alone. You live your life. I'll live my life. I'm going to live my life based upon what the word of God says. I'm going to live it like the word says. And if the word says it, then I believe it. And if it doesn't come to pass, I'm not applying the word correctly to my life. But we're going to see victory in this situation. I remember one time this hasn't happened to me very much in life, but I was praying and it was like I had an open vision. Like inside of my head, I could just see something that was so real. It was like I just seen another picture playing off. And what was funny about it was it was a picture of me, like someone had wrapped saran wrap or, you know, cellophane, clear plastic across a doorway and my face was in it and I was just pushing through and it's just smushing up against there. It's like that quick I saw it. And I said, yeah, that's exactly how I feel, Lord. I feel like I'm trying to get to this door and I'm just pushing and pushing. It's nothing but just something's holding me back. And I remember the peace of God coming in and said, just don't quit. Keep going. You'll break. You'll get through the door. Go ahead. Just keep going. So, folks, you've got to start. You've got to begin to take, when you see that thing, you've got to take God's word and begin to meditate on it until it sinks down into your soul and becomes a part of you. Okay? When a thought comes to you that doesn't line up with what God's word says, you got to get it out of your thinking. And the only way to get it out of your thinking is to replace it in your thinking. If you sit there all the time and say, stop, I'm not going to think that. We had my grandson at the house yesterday. And I love my grandson, but I just can't hardly stand children's music. Because I still got the songs going in my head this morning trying to get them out. That music, man, just bores into your brain. Y'all with me? How can you remember those stupid songs? But they're boring in your brain, man. I know what the pirate says. I know all the whole thing. I got all the parts, everything in my head playing. But you know, I've learned you can't. I can say stop, stop it. Don't think that. Don't think that. Stop. And it don't work. The only way to quit thinking is you have to replace it. You have to replace the thought. You have to get the thought that's negative out of your head and get the thought of God's word into your head. It has to become a part of you. Now, is it going to instantly quit? No. Can you master the children's songs? Come on. When you get as good that you can master the children's songs as the word of God, folks, you got something going. When I just said that, one jumped back in my head. The wheels on the bus go round and round and round. Huh? Yes, now y'all have it too. Only way to get rid of it is you have to replace it. You're not going to get rid of it. Peace isn't going to come because you just prayed and said, oh God, give me peace. He did. Change your thinking and peace comes. He did give it. He already answered your prayers. But you've got to change the thinking, and the thinking will not change unless you replace it. So if you're mad at somebody, you say, Lord, I tell you, I'm so mad. Can you send some fire down from heaven upon them, Lord? Burn off, scorch them, get them, God. Okay, you're not going to have any peace in that. God's not going to give you, you're not going to get peace, and God's not going to be in the middle of that. The moment you begin to say, God bless that person, because the Bible says, pray for your enemies. Amen. So the minute you begin to say, Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't really want any of these out of my mouth, but I want peace. So Lord, bless them. Just bless that person. Bless their sorry old souls, God. You know, you may not even be there right at first, but you're getting there. And you start to replace that thought. Now you're praying. Now all of a sudden, peace has place in your life. And it can come in. Let me just give you a few scriptures here. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving them, and the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given to you as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great rivers of the Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you will divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you observe to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is according is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. When's he going to be prosperous and when's he going to have success? When he's been meditating on the word. Now the word meditate actually means to mutter. It means to talk to yourself. It means to be saying, no, God said, that's not what God said. God said that everything I put my hand to is going to prosper. That's what God said. That's what the meditate means. It means that you're speaking it out of your mouth. You're uttering it out of your mouth. That's not what God's word says. And you're quoting it out of your mouth. You're speaking it out of your mouth. You're muttering it. You're over and over again. You're saying, no, God says I'm prosperous. God says he wants to bless me. God says he wants to. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, listen, comes up to you and taps you in the heart and says, yeah, you've got to get a few things changed in life. You need to line up a few things in your life. First of all, you've got to be honoring me with your giving. And so, you know, you haven't really been doing that. So you need to go back to what Proverbs 3 does and honor me with your giving. And then I can start to move in that area. Oh, okay, Lord, I need to line that up. Okay, well, we'll get that lined up. We'll get that lined up and then we can start going. And then you're back over here quoting scripture again. You see, folks, it's not enough to mutter it, because the Holy Spirit, when you do it, is going to speak to you and tell you what you need to change. Women, you're praying, Lord, I just think you're going to change my husband. Lord, he's going to go to sleep. He's going to wake up in the morning. He's going to be a new man. You're just going to bless him. You're going to do something, Lord. You're going to jerk that rotten brain out of his head. You're going to throw a brain that's got some sense in it. And, you know, you're going to jerk out that old stony heart. You're going to give him a soft heart. You know, you're praying like this. I hope that you're at least praying that way. You're not praying, Lord, kill him, take him right now. Lord, I want to be a widow. You said you'd take care of widows, and I want to be a widow. You can't pray like that. Don't pray like that. God, it'd be easier to kill this man than try to get him saved. You can't pray like that, ladies. And so if you're praying in that direction, if you're thinking in that direction, if you're even using that verbiage to him, you know, God gonna kill you. You know, you're not walking in love. You're not walking in the things of God. You're not walking in God's covenant. So then how can God bless that, right? You got to get your prayers lined up with the Word of God. And then you got to see, how do you have to, oh, I have to love my enemies? Well, Lord, I don't want to love him. Lord, have mercy. You see what I'm saying, church? You've got to get your part going, too, in order to get God's part. But as soon as you get your part lined up, God moves in. God just moves in. Because you've got the dwelling in the right place, set up right, that's a pleasing to God. How many of y'all know, if you've got places, like there's certain businesses or certain restaurants that when I go in them, I don't feel comfortable. It's not that the place is demonized. It's like it's just not my taste of whatever. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable in the place. Is this happened to any of y'all, or am I the only crazy one of the bunch, right? All right, there's certain places I don't go. But it's not because it's a bad place or whatever. I just don't like the way it's set up. It doesn't speak to my personality. I don't like it. I may not like the food that they've got or whatever. I don't go, okay? Well, if God doesn't like what's going on in your house, then what would make him want to show up and sit down and eat with you? If my human nature is like this, well, then you think his godly nature is going to be the same way? He wants to come into a dwelling place that's set up, that's accommodating to him. Okay. I'm going to give you last scriptures here. Our last scripture. Go to Psalms 103. You got to see this. Psalms 103, verse 19 through 21. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word and heed the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. The last thing you've got to remember is, remember I said it's all what you see or what you're imagining, what you hear, and what you say is going to determine where you are and how you live and what your position is in life. You've got to understand something. Heaven is waiting to move at your command. He said, oh, no, Pastor, heaven moves at God's command. Well, it does. The scripture here says the angels move when they hear the word of God being spoken. When you speak the promises of God's word out of your mouth, when you're declaring what God's word says out of your mouth, when that's what's in your dwelling, then the angels are there ready to move upon the command of God's word. If what's coming out of your mouth is just spewing garbage, all of heaven's is sitting there waiting for you to get your voice, your speech lined up with heaven so then it can move. But until then, can't move. It's as if an army is waiting for the command of the general, but unless the general gives the right command, it won't move. I don't know if you've ever read or studied anything about stagecoaches, but a lot of times they took stagecoaches and they trained the horses to stop at command. You could say whatever you wanted to, they wouldn't stop. But if you said the right words, they'd stop. Same thing with heaven. Heaven moves at your command. You say the right words, heaven's moving on your behalf. You say the wrong words, hell is moving on your behalf. I don't know about you, But I don't want hell moving at my command. I want heaven moving at my command. Hello? I want to know that the Word of God and the promise of God and the peace of God is going to be living and dwelling in me because I'm keeping my thoughts straight. I'm keeping my speech straight. And I'm keeping straight what goes into my head, because what goes into your head is what's going to come out. So the peace of God's yours. It's already yours. Jesus already bought and paid for it. You get lined up, it'll move in. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I could do so with some peace. Look at the person on the other side of you and say, I could do some enchiladas too. Well, praise God. Put your Bibles up. And if you would, stand to your feet. And if I can have the prayer team, pastoral team come down, so we can be here. If any of you need prayer, we want to pray with you today. Now, church, listen to me. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You may be in a bad situation today. You may need the peace of God more than you've ever needed it right now. And I'm just going to pray that your thinking is going to grab hold of what I've said today. You're going to be able to get your thinking lined up with the promises of God. You're going to be able to get those in your thinking, in your head, in your whole being. You're going to be able to get them in your whole being, so that the peace of God can come into you. So if you need this, then grab hold of this prayer right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for each and every person here. I pray for all those that are listening, Lord God, by radio, and all those that are watching by the internet, Lord. And I just declare that, Lord, where they've been lined up and their thinking's run wild, that today they can get their thinking straight, Lord God, and it can come into their lives, and the peace of God can come in and begin to rule their hearts and their lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as they immediately sense your presence as they line their thoughts up, immediately sense your presence and begin to see miracles happen and things move, Lord, as they begin to speak your word out of their mouths. And that, Lord, you begin to just move so mightily in their lives. God, we thank you for them. We praise you for your word. We praise you for your promises. We praise you that they're all true. And we just ask you today, Lord God, to just move mightily in their lives. So, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the signs and the wonders and the miracles today. I thank you for blessing this time of fellowship we have and of a great church and all these awesome people, Lord. Bless them. Lord, thank you for allowing Laura and I to pastor the greatest church on the face of the earth. And Lord, we just give you praise for it. So bless the food, bless our fellowship. And Lord, we just thank you for your peace in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. If you need prayer, church, we're down here. And if not, Miss Laura and I are taking over. See you over on the other side.